Michael Reid on LMFM.
Give you one more comment for the moment, which relates to our lead story today. Tom in touch with us saying, Michael, the problem with Shine is that a lot of so-called good people knew what was going on in his house of horror on Fair Street. They don't want this investigated. They wanted to just disappear. The dogs on the street knew what he was, but he was protected. Thanks, Tom. Now, Adrienne Riley, CEO of Dignity for Patients, joins us. Good morning, Adrienne, and thanks indeed for joining us on the programme today. An awful lot of people have been very taken aback, upset and saddened by what they've been hearing this morning. You've been supporting this man for some time. What are your thoughts today now that he's told his story publicly?
Well, good morning. First of all, I'd like to commend him on his bravery. And even though this is my job and we work with victims and we support them when they come and tell us what's happened and everything that they need around counselling and dealing with the guards and everything, I actually also really emotional, because victims very rarely have an actual voice. They are not heard when justice pathways are shut down. And if they were heard, you would now hear 350 people, like the guest that you had on, telling their story. And that's the amount of people that engage with Dignity for Patients. And I'm actually finding this quite emotional myself. You have to remember, it's very, very difficult for anybody who's sexually abused to talk about what happened to them. It's difficult for them to talk to us, and we're trauma-trained and trauma-informed. It's difficult for them to go to the guards. It's difficult for them to go to a solicitor. It's difficult for them to tell their family members. In many cases, the victims we support haven't told anybody except us. Many of them, actually a huge percentage of them, were children, unlike your caller who was a young adult. But a high percentage were also young adults. So children and young adults were abused by Michael Shine. So my thoughts are with the victim and with all the victims and survivors that are listening today to the show. I've been in touch with the office. I'm out of the office at the moment, and staff have already told me that the phone lines and the text messages haven't stopped since the interview went out. So I guess there's a number of things we can talk about, Michael, if you'd like to introduce any of the issues you raised at the top of the show.
Well, I think the big question is, and it really is a big question, if that man is on his own in how his complaint was received by some members of An Garda Síochána in Drogheda Garda Station. Are you concerned that people were dismissed, turned away, told to go for counselling when they were reporting a crime, or asked to write a letter of apology, as was the situation with this man?
So, unfortunately, and I wish I was saying otherwise, we do have reports of similar engagement with An Garda Síochána over the years and decades that victims and survivors started reporting abuse. And I heard Imelda Munster and her interview and her call for people to come forward. Well, we actually have all of this documented in different forms from when Bernadette Sullivan set up the organisation in 2010. And the problem is, Michael, and we've spoken a number of times since I started in 2021, unless we can have a full and effective investigation, we can't put this all together. So we're sitting in a small little charity with 3.5 staff, with 350 people plus who've given us evidence. And we need legal people, we need an investigation, and we need to look at all of the people that had similar experiences. We have had victims tell us that they went to solicitors, and solicitors said to them, get out of my office. Michael Shine gives me reports and doesn't charge us until the case is over. How dare you speak about Michael Shine like this? We have evidence of, you know, other situations with guards over the years, just not trauma-informed, not trained on how to deal with this, and leaving people on the floor coming out of the guard station. we have evidence of people being told to leave it behind and get cancelled. So all of those things, yes, we have evidence of all of that. So where do we go with this? There is statute of limitations. There is nowhere really to take another case. But what we need to do is have a public inquiry so that we give not only that victim their voice, all of the victims a voice. And I guess I really want to contextualise it. From the beginning, all of these adult survivors and of childhood and young adult sexual abuse were told, you cannot say anything. Because even when they went to solicitors and had civil cases taken, they had to sign gagging orders. They were told, you can't tell anybody what we're discussing in relation to getting any compensation from the religious orders. They were told, don't you dare mention Michael Shine's name. He will sue you for defamation. He is held in high esteem. You will bring shame on your family. You're the only one that's reporting this. So these are all things that we have been told over the years that our victims were subjected to. So how do we get that put all together? And how do we get accountability from the Medical Ministry of Mary's and the state bodies that were supposed to protect the victims?
The Medical Missionaries of Mary were certainly complicit in it all and have never answered questions on it. Michael Shine, as a hospital consultant, was a very wealthy man and was able to afford the best legal defence possible. I know that we spoke to many of his victims over the years and transcripts of those interviews and interviews with Bernadette were read out in court as evidence that he was compromised in terms of getting a free trial and so on. I just want to mention Pat Cusick, if I can, somebody who's been a long friend of the programme and indeed one of Shine's victims. He's been in touch to offer his support for the man in touch who we heard this morning. He says nobody should have been treated that way and he really feels for him and he deserves to get justice for his treatment. He makes the point, which I'm sure you'll agree with, Adrienne, that many people will find it upsetting to have listened to it this morning, and I think probably your phone lines are an indication of that, triggering old feelings. He makes the point, though, that the new regime of Gardaí are better equipped and trained to deal with these incidents and that they work tirelessly for him on his case. He does feel, though, that other questions do need to be asked about how Gardaí behaved years ago.
Well, there's two things that I'm absolutely delighted he's been in touch with the with you, because he has been involved with the organisation as well, and he's one of the few people that have felt they were able to publicly speak. This is the problem with sexual abuse. People carry shame and they find it extremely difficult to speak out or be seen or give an interview where they're named, or they might bring shame on their family. But there's two things I'd like to highlight. One is, this is not something that happened years ago to people. This is something that's happening every day to the victim. And as long as they have no justice, as long as they have no voice, as long as they feel they were mistreated by the guards, by the hospitals, by solicitors, and by the DPP, and by the state, they are living with massive trauma and unable to live as full human beings because they have no voice, they have nowhere to go. And the second thing is, I absolutely agree that the Garda service has got much, 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 much better, but I also think we have a long way to go. Gardaí are still not trauma trained and trauma informed. And last year, when the DPP refused to prosecute 25 cases, 16 of our victims were informed of this by phone by the Gardaí. And they had a really horrendous experience with those phone conversations. Now, we spoke to the guards and we explained how they felt, and we were able to have a mutually beneficial conversation. But that should never have happened.
Of course not. Adrienne,
it needs to stop.
I'm sorry, Adrienne, for talking across you, but I can't stop the clock and we're running out of time. Before we go, I want to give the Dignity for Patients helpline number, which is open now, 041-9843-730. Adrienne, thank you indeed for joining us.
Listen, thank you, Michael. I really appreciate it, and I hope this isn't going to stop here. We need voices for victims and we need a public inquiry. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Adrienne Riley is the CEO of Dignity for Patients. That's our programme for today. God willing, we'll see you for our next programme tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. right here on LMFM. Good morning. Bye-bye.
Michael Reid on LMFM.